says that he's the ability in man, mankind, men and women. Each devotee has something special to contribute to the service of the Lord, both in the spiritual world and when we become purified, here in the material world as well. And we see that in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, how devotees in their own unique ways join the movement. Everyone has a story. It's everyone's favorite story, how they joined. I've told mine 1,000 times. And actually, Brahmananda Prabhu is an intricate part of that journey I began many years ago. And we have a unique way of advancing in Krishna consciousness, and by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, serving this movement. So Brahmananda Prabhu's history is just remarkable, actually. So we lament the departure of such a soul who is ultimately in the mood of a Vaishnava, thinking about the welfare of others. This is the difference between a devotee and other classes of transcendentalists. We respect all classes of transcendentalists because all of them, be they jnanis or yogis or devotees, the three general classes, they all have the deep realization of the futility of material existence. Dukkalayam ashashvatam, Krishna says. The temporal world, and they're seeking a solution to that. They're not going against the grain and trying to enjoy in a world where it's never created for happiness. They're wise men and women, and they take to the transcendental path for mukti, for liberation from samsara, the repetition of birth and death. But a Vaishnava who has the same understanding, he's unique in that he's not satisfied just for his own deliverance, but he's concerned about the deliverance of each and every fallen soul in this world. I've many times repeated. One time a godbrother of mine said to Śrīla Prabhupāda, our spiritual master, "Śrīla Prabhupāda, sometimes I just feel, you know, so bad for the suffering of the conditioned souls in this world." And in order to instruct him, rather than, and not compliment him, but some constructive criticism, Prabhupada shot back, "Why sometimes?" He said, "Sometimes I feel the, for the suffering." Prabhupada said, "Why sometimes?" This is Vaishnava. And this is why so many Vaishnavas are getting liberated. Because the Lord is most pleased with that service when we share our good fortune with others. And if you analyze the life of this wonderful devotee who actually just passed away a couple hours ago, that's why most of you don't know, just a couple hours ago Brahmananda Prabhu passed away. This is why it's so lamentable. But we also rejoice because we know that especially in Brahmananda Prabhu's case, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Śrīla Prabhupāda took him to his lotus feet where he served for so many years. He traveled with Prabhupāda as a secretary and helper and cook and whatever. One time a devotee said to Prabhupāda, "Prabhupāda, I want to stay very close to your lotus feet." And Prabhupāda humorously said, "That's not so easy because these lotus feet are traveling very quickly all over the world." Brahmananda Prabhu was one of the fortunate devotees who had that intimate association and had that intimate service, and thus those deep realizations that come from associating intimately with the pure devotee of the Lord. It's kind of like a lost breed. There were just a few of those devotees by dint of their past devotional service or just Prabhupada's mercy, who had a special insight into the activities of his divine grace. And they're going back home, back to Godhead. So we lament, but we rejoice, because a devotee wants nothing more that in the end, of course there's no end because life is eternal, wants nothing more than to be in the service of his guru and his guranga. I have no doubt that Brahmananda Prabhu achieved that. He had so much affection for Srila Prabhupada. Just yesterday, I was told, he was ill for about a week, and he had difficulty breathing. But even though he could hardly speak, just yesterday, he was sharing his memories of Srila Prabhupada with those who were gathered around his bed for his departure. What was he doing? He wasn't lamenting, oh, I'm so much pain, oh, I have to leave, I've worked so hard for so many things and now I have to leave them. No. He was glorifying his guru. This is his disciple. He was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And as he was speaking, the devotees told me on the phone in the hotel, tears were streaming down his cheeks. Such a wonderful example. The final test. We look to those, our seniors, who have been in this movement for some years, and Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam, the heart has become purified, and some bhav, some affection has come for Hari, for Guru, for Vaishnava. Something's there. That's the proof that Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya, that his followers awaken their sentiments of love. So here's a disciple who on his deathbed is not lamenting, but he's crying out of separation from Guru. And when you die, you go to where your heart takes you. This is the science of Krishna consciousness, laid down by the Lord himself in his immortal words of wisdom in his Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyajati anta kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Krishna says very clearly, whatever state of mind one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. So Prabhupada, who elaborated on the teachings of Krishna to make them more clear and concise for us, by his realizations, by his analogies, even contemporary analogies to that truth which is spoken 5,000 years ago. Prabhupada said, when you die, what happens is your whole life passes before your vision. And you see everything you've done. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a good term. That's life, isn't it, like that? We all have our skeletons in the closet. The good things, the bad things, the ugly things. Maybe you didn't do them, but you thought about them. And that subtle influence is there in the heart. By the arrangement of the Lord, the mechanics of life, it all passes before your vision. Those around you can't see. They don't see. If you're sinful, the Yamaduta is coming, dragging your soul from the body. They don't see the Vishnu Dutas coming and carefully placing the devotee into the Vaikuntha chariot and taking them back home, back to Godhead. All these things we'll see in due course of time. But what happens is that everything you've done since you entered into the womb of mommy and came out and met daddy and brother and sister and neighbors and countrymen and citizens of the world and how you interacted. Krishna says the intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand, how it all works out in your life, your destiny. It all passes before you, like you fast forward a video. And whatever is most dear to you, whatever is dearest to the heart, boom, your mind fixes on that. It can be a moment in life. It can be a place. It can be a person. But the mind fixes whatever is most dear to your heart. And you've cultivated that attachment by your deeper desires throughout your life. You cultivate it. It can be your dog. It can be your house. Why do you think ghosts stay in houses? They come back, haunt the houses. And Prabhupada stayed at John Lennon's estate here outside of London in Tittenhurst. When he first walked in, he told the devotees, there are so many ghosts here. The devotees, they ran out the door. Prabhupada said, come back. Faith in the holy names. He said, he took his cane and he said, they live in the walls. He said, they live in the paintings. This Lord, that lady. Because they don't have a body. They come back in a so-called form of the painting and they reside there. And they haunt you when you come in. So Prabhupada took his cane and he went on all the paintings and the walls. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Came back, he said, they're all gone. So whatever is dear, your house, your animal, the man who's attached to the woman, he becomes a woman his next life. And the woman who's attached to the man, she becomes a man next life. Or it may just work in a very ironic way that you're fighting your enemy on the battlefield. Israel's fighting Palestine, and the two soldiers shoot each other, so the Israeli is absorbed in thoughts of the Palestinian. He takes birth in Palestine. This is the irony of life. And the Palestine Arab, he takes birth in Tel Aviv. This is happening. This is the intricacies of life. So that's why Prabhupada created this society. Actually, he created a society. He transplanted Vedic culture from India into the unfertile ground of the West. There's nothing much spiritual about the West. Something, of course. We have our brothers and sisters who practice other religions, and we're respectful to that. But nothing really compares to Vedic culture. Prabhupada planted that. Culture in which, you know, from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, if you're a devotee in International Society for Krishna Consciousness, everything's connected to Krishna. In fact, you have to really try hard to forget Krishna in this movement, if you're sincere. Because from the moment, what is the first thing you do when you wake up? You do your obeisances on your mattress, on the floor. You should. And you recite, Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachaya Nirvishesha Shunyavaya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasa Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama. And then you put on the tape of Prabhupada or Madhava Prabhu or Bibi Govinda Maharaj or Radhana Swami's lecture, and you go and you brush your teeth. And you're so attracted by the Shravanam Kirtanam, you don't even look at your bewildered face that just woke up, and then there's no attraction. Why put makeup on that face? I'm not this body. So, like that, and then you, either in your home or Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day I woke up and saw my house transformed into Vaikuntha. Because the nine activities, the nine processes of devotional service were full swing in his house as a great acharya. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. If you're in the temple, it's easy as a breeze. You come down and who do you see? Jagannath, or you don't see him and you feel separation from him, which is even better. You see Gaurinitai, one of the original Govardhan Shilas in ISKCON. And your most beautiful Prabhupada's favorite deities, Radhanandan, Ishwara, you see their smiling face. Although we're growing old, they remain eternally youthful. I was just coming here this afternoon and I was thinking, I wonder if they recognize me. I first came before them when I was 19 years old. And now I'm 66 and I was saying,
Still remember? I'm still your servant, still trying. Please, you bless me. So like that. And then we have our morning program, and even throughout the day, you can't think of your bhajan during your work, or you'll do it wrong, your work, but the results of your work go towards maintaining your Krishna conscious family. And some dana, some charity is given for the maintenance of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. And you come home, and instead of turning on what you call here in England, the telly, that is so British. If you went to America and said, turn on the telly, what? They call it TV, but the telly. You don't even laugh because you think it's right. You don't watch the news, the CNN or the, I know, they have Sky News here, I think, whatever.
BBC.
British Broadcasting Corporation. Because these are the affairs of the mundane people. And whatever opinions they have opinion sections, they're all coming from the heart of materialistic men and women. And Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, don't hear what they say, don't repeat what they say. Don't eat luxurious food, don't dress opulently, and in your heart, always remember the pastimes of the divine couple, Sisi Radha and Krishna, and Brajabhumi Vrindavan. That's our code of life. So we come home and we finish our rounds, or we do our final Gayatri, we sit before our deities and chant, and make plans for the next feast, or whatever. There's so many opportunities for us to remember the Lord. So after a life like that, it's only natural you think of Krishna when you die. You don't have to force yourself. It comes, don't worry. Krishna says to Arjuna that, you should know there, the mechanics, again, of nature are that there's auspicious times for leaving this world and there's inauspicious times due to the influence of the material energy. It's always weighing heavy on us, the material energy. But there's kind of good times and bad times, even in the material energy. I saw people kind of enjoying out there in London today, walking down the street in their shorts with their white legs, and the sun and their girlfriend and everything, this, okay. So there's goodness, passion, and ignorance. So there's the good times and the bad times. Life is like that, it's a mixture. So there's, for the yogi, there's auspicious times to get through it all, to break on through to the other side. There's auspicious times and there's inauspicious times. When the sun is in a certain direction and the planets, a good Jyotish astrologer can tell you. So the yogi, he would, via the Kundalini, which he had, the Kundalini rising, his spiritual the spiritual energy, he would, at that moment, he would, the Kundalini energy would push the soul through the Brahmananda, through the little weak point in the brain here, like babies, that the skull's not closed yet, so you have to be very careful with a newborn baby. There's a little skin there, there's the brain. So then the brain closes, the skull closes after a while, but that remains a weak point. So the yogi, he pushes the soul, boom, out from the, and he attains the higher planets, or if he's devotee, he goes to Vaikuntha, like that. Prabhupada said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was a young boy, he saw his grandfather leave his body. And he was a mystic. And he was sitting there, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw his grandfather's soul as he was in samadhi and meditation. He saw the soul burst through the top of his grandfather's head, and he could actually see the soul going to the higher dimension. So, but Krishna says to Arjuna, don't you worry about a favorable moment or an unfavorable moment. Because life is such, you may fall off a cliff, you may have a head-on collision, you may get a terminal disease and be in great anxiety, even though you've practiced Krishna consciousness, fear of death is one of the main obstacles to life. So you may be in an unstable state of mind, but, you know, you're doing your best. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Or you've done your best, like the devotee says in Isha Upanishad. My dear Lord, just remember all I've done for you. I'm weak. You know, I'm a product of Kali Yuga, and you know, I only started, you know, 60 years ago after a million lifetimes. But in this life, I gave my best to you. I gave you my youth. I gave you my middle age and what was left of my old age. I gave that in service to Guru and Gauranga. So just remember all I've done for you. So Krishna says to Arjuna, for such a person who's trying, he says, don't worry. Just be engaged in devotional service. And if you're engaged in devotional service, your destination, your higher destination is guaranteed. But you have to practice, because devotional service is against the grain of a conditioned soul. So that's why it's kind of hard in the beginning. But as you go on, devotional service becomes natural. Like in Jaipur, they run to the Mangal Aarti to see Radha Govinda. They don't have to drag themselves. It becomes something natural. So that's why we're fortunate. Our whole day is engaged in Krishna consciousness. So when death comes, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Or, as Ramanujacharya, you know the Ramanuja Sampradaya? He was, of course, a great Acharya. And he asked Ranganath, in Sri Rangam, there's that beautiful deity of Ranganath, very long deity. And he's lying down, like there, you see, like on the painting there, Mahavishnu. He's lying down, and Lakshmi's massaging his feet, a very popular deity in South India, but especially in Sri Rangam. And Ramanujacharya, being an Acharya, being a great devotee of the Lord, he could talk with Krishna. Like one time Prabhupada was in L.A., and he was folding his hands and saying audible prayers. One disciple asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what were you saying? What were you praying? Prabhupada said, I was praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish to please engage me in the service of Radharasa Bihari in Bombay. Having a conversation like that. So Ramanujacharya, he said to Ranganath, Lord, if your devotee cannot remember you at the moment of death, what happens? So Lord smiled. Deity smiled. And said, if my devotee cannot remember me at the moment of death, I will remember my devotee. So this is our good fortune. We're not on our own. We literally have God on our side. We should not be proud of that. We should maintain our humility. But by Prabhupada's mercy, we have God on our side. If only we have him completely in the form of his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama.
And Lord is so kind, he recognizes any insignificant service. And in this age, technically we're devotees of Lord Chaitanya, because he's the incarnation for this age. And Gornitai, they don't accept offenses. They only accept seva. So we are blessed. Our life is perfect, and it will become more perfect, and it will become most perfect. Because Krishna has us, because we try to serve. I mean, okay, we're infants in spiritual life, but mothers and fathers, they give special care to the infants. When you're a teenager, like my son, Gorshakti, he has a family in San Diego, and you know, I've watched through the years, he and his wife are very careful with the children, but I came this time, and his son turned 18, I was going to go to college. And, you know, he takes the car and goes out and, you know, goes around. He's got a job and, you know, they're conscious, but they're not always on top of him anymore. He has his independence. So, but when you're young, then your parents give you full protection. So we're infants in spiritual life. So there is protection there. The Lord is looking after our interests. Even though we're young, we're like little ducklings. And Mother Duck is always looking after the little ducklings. But it's expected when the ducks grow up, they fly on their own. Expected when you grow up, then you do some tangible service for the Lord when you grow in Krishna consciousness. But Lord has, as soon as you do some service, then, you know, Lord notices you. Like when we were children, we had those little, it was a kind of a plastic card, and you would put some pressure on it with the side of a pencil, and a picture would come. You ever do that? You'd like put the pressure like that, and then the picture would come. So as soon as you do some service, then out of the multitudes of humanity, Krishna sees you. Because he appreciates that service so much. And Tanakapanda said, just like a mother cow, she can see her calf amongst the multitude of calves who are going by with the cowherd boys, because they separate the cows and the calves at a certain age. So there's 10,000 calves, but mama cow, she says, she sees, and calf sees mother. It's so heartrending. So Krishna's like that. You do some seva for the Lord, even though it's agyat sukriti. You know, you buy a book on the street, you give a donation to the devotee. That's seva. It's agyat sukriti. It's unknowingly, but Krishna arranges. At least your next lifetime, you get a human form of life. And you take off where you left off. You buy another book. And if you're smart enough, you come to the temple and begin your process in earnest. Krishna never forgets any service. Saravor hridayam mayam, sarunam hridayam dvaham, maranya ten ajananti naham tebyo manakapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. One time Prabhupada said humorously, if nothing else, just remember your own name at the moment of death. How is that? Because our names are spiritual. Our Guru Maharaj gives us spiritual names. Names of the Lord, names of his expansions, his devotees, his places of pastimes, and they're transcendental. So, Indradumna. Ah, Jagannath Puri. So, it's a very intimate relationship. We may not be so aware of it, just like a baby is not aware of mother, but mother's aware of baby. Aham bhakti para dino yasvatanta iva duija sarabir grashtur hidayo bhaktir bhakti janapriya. One of my favorite verses. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee are dear to me. Bhagavan Shri Krishna ki. Sisi Vada Landanishwar ki. The last part of that verse, Sarubir Krishtur Hidayo, Bhaktir Bhakti Janapriya. What to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee, are very dear to me. This applies so nicely to Brahmananda Prabhu. For he was in every way a devotee of Krishna's devotee. He was fully surrendered disciple of Śrīla Prabhupāda. Just like you can't think of Brahmananda Prabhu and not remember Prabhupāda. Just like I cannot think of Maharani Vrinda and not remember Deva Prastha. It's a very nice analogy. Very nice devotee couple. Krishna conscious couple. So on the higher transcendental platform, a devotee who's fully surrendered to the Lord, you don't think of him as independent. You think of him as connected to Krishna and Krishna. Prabhupada, you'll never see a picture of Krishna alone. He's always with his devotees. He's at least a peacock. So I would say that Brahmananda Prabhu was fully surrendered to Prabhupada, and we can ascertain that on the basis of his service to Prabhupada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said one time, a devotee's bhajan is tested at the moment of death. One way you can interpret that is that one reflects on a devotee's service throughout his life at the moment of his departure, what service he has done, his bhajan. So Brahmananda's service is very impressive indeed. He joined ISKCON. He was one of the first members at that very famous 26 Second Avenue. He did a lot of service for Prabhupada at that time. He was part of the first Harinam party that went out in New York. What's that movie called? Matchless Gifts? That old grainy video. They should redo that and make it up, top it up, as you say here. He was instrumental in publishing some of the first books in ISKCON, the ISKCON Press. He served as ISKCON's first temple president at 26 Second Avenue. Much of this he describes in his book entitled Swamiji, which, thank God, came out last year, a few months ago. That book is available. Many of his glorious services are described in there. He doesn't do it in a way to advertise himself, but glorifying Prabhupada, but he was there. And that's very noticeable. In that book, he doesn't shy away from controversy. As he recounted, he was once expelled from ISKCON with a few other devotees for claiming that Prabhupada was God. He was a young whippersnapper. And most important, he recounts how Prabhupada forgave him for that. He became covered over, but I don't know, amongst us, who hasn't become covered over at one time or another? I recently heard a lecture of Prabhupada say that Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation for the age, and as such, he was very forgiving. Because without forgiving, how could he spread this movement? Because everyone, he said, has got a little bit of the jagai and madai in them. So how can you ignite the fire of love of God if that independent spirit to enjoy sin is still in the heart? So you have to remove that first, and you have to forgive, and you have to forget. We should all learn this principle of forgiving, forgetting if we see remorse. So whatever discrepancies may have been there, you know, in the last few years, whatever CD came out, Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamuni would reprint it. In Vrindavan, I said, you know, that my Padakamalam tape, he said, yeah, but you were only distributing a few. I'm distributing thousands of your tapes. Yes, okay, all right. But there were a few challenges with the BBT, but anyway. Again, if we look in our hearts, we'll see there's some discrepancies. But whatever discrepancies may be there in his service or in our service are burned up to the fire of devotional service. And Prabhupada's appreciation for our service. One time Prabhupada's secretary was reading Prabhupada's mail to him on a flight from Delhi to London. And one letter was from Brahmananda. You know, Prabhupada used to, there were no emails, believe it. There was a time when there were no emails. There were no cell phones. You could even read your mail. And there was aerograms. I got one aerogram from Prabhupada. Yeah. That's another story. I only have 5 minutes, but I'm going to take 10 minutes. Because I know you're hungry, but this is the prasad. Chance to glorify a nice devotee. But I won't go long. But he was reading the aerograms to Prabhupada. That's how it used to happen. Prabhupada would sit there and then he would be and the secretary would read the mail, and if there was something significant, Prabhupada would note it or give a reply like that. So one letter was from Brahmananda Swami at the time, who was describing his efforts to establish Krishna consciousness in Africa. Nandakumar said later that he was amazed at the austerities and the sacrifice that Brahmananda Swami was undergoing to pioneer Krishna consciousness in the dark continent, the dark jungles. But he was even more amazed when he looked over at Prabhupada, who was listening to this letter from Brahmananda, and he saw the tears streaming down Prabhupada's face. As he listened to the service of his disciple. And Prabhupada said, he's doing so much to serve me and Lord Chaitanya. So such tears were very much part of Srila Prabhupada and Brahmananda Prabhu's relationship. I know many of you may have had the experience, if you went to Vrindavan where he spent his last years, that whenever Brahmananda would very kindly come out of his quarters and come to the temple and speak about Prabhupada, even after 37 years after Prabhupada's departure, he would inevitably tear up. Do you remember one time, Vishesha, he came to New Mayapur, Brahmananda, and he was giving a lecture. I remember sitting and on the Vyasasana. He started speaking for 5 minutes and just started crying. We said, speak about Prabhupada. So he started speaking, and after 5 minutes, he was crying like a baby. And he said, excuse me. And he went to his room. And just recently I was in Vrindavan at Kartik, and again, I said, don't go to your room. You could say that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness, to cry for the Lord or his devotee. Because Krishna consciousness is something very personal. It's all about spiritual emotions and for persons, for Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. Again, just yesterday, Brahmananda was crying thinking of Prabhupada. And when I hear that, I think Prabhupada's own words about his own Guru Maharaj. He said, I do not know who is Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj. That was Brahmananda. That's love. So he would cry. And Prabhupada writes about this crying in Nectar of Devotion. And he's speaking to us as aspiring devotees. One should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. He should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolium, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this lolium or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. So today we rejoice that Brahmananda Prabhu, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, that he has rejoined Srila Prabhupada, but we lament that he's no longer with us. Slowly, slowly we see time taking its effect. Prabhupada's disciples, both men and ladies, they're departing one by one. This will increase more rapidly in the future. It's a great chapter of the history of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is coming to a close. I would say, with all the mistakes my generation has made, we admit my generation has made some mistakes, it was a glorious chapter. Prabhupada said after the battle to get the land at Juhu Beach was accomplished, Mr. Nair was gone and we had the property, the deed in our hand. Prabhupada sat back, he said, it was a good fight. So I would say that, you know, after all was said and done, my generation, our generation, did a pretty good job. If only... You know, you do the math. There's more devotees now present than ever before, by Prabhupada's mercy, by following his instructions. There's more temples, there's more farm communities, there's more deities established. You know, Hare Krishna has literally become a household word. There's more knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita spread far and wide, although we may not get the credit for it. It's by the grace of Prabhupada and disciples like Brahmananda Prabhu. I personally am very indebted to him. You know, I was a full-on, full-fledged karmi, non-devotee, but, you know, looking, saw through the material life a little bit, you know, frustrated and looking for an alternative, a spiritual alternative. I was working at a university as a gardener, taking care of the gardens on a prestigious university. My former wife was going to school, becoming a teacher at that university. We were going to yoga clubs and schools and seeing gurus and masters and this and that and chai and chi and whatever. And I guess, you know, there was some sincerity, at least in her heart. And one day we were walking through the school on the way home. I said, "Wow, that's beautiful. What is that?" We were listening to rock and roll, and you know, this is beautiful. She said, "Yeah, what is that?" And like, just singing, or just singing. I said, "Oh, it looks like somebody's singing on the main lawn of the school. You know, where all the buildings are. There's a big crowd of devotees, and a big crowd of people there. And just they were surrounding something. We went, we broke through the crowd, and there was this big fellow, Brahmananda Swami, this big danda, swaying back and forth. He looked like an elephant." Swaying to the singing, the sweet singing of his godbrother, Vishnu Janana Swami. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." Gargamuni, also a sannyasi, Brahmananda's brother, how he must be feeling separation today from his brother. They were brothers by birth and brothers by initiation. I can only imagine separation that Gargamuni Prabhu is feeling today. You please say some prayers for him this evening. Broke through the crowd, and Vishnu John started giving a lecture. We'd just been to an exhibit where there were these Pichwai paintings of somebody called Krishna. The first time I saw Krishna in a Pichwai painting. And Krishna was surrounded by lots of beautiful ladies. And I said to the caretaker, who was Afro-American, I said, "What is this?" He looked at the title. He said, it said, "God enjoying with his devotees." He said, "Young man, this is the good Lord up there with a lot of beautiful young girls. And if that be heaven, I want to go there." Okay. So I said, "Can you tell me more about Krishna?" He said, "Nope." So we walked out of the exhibit, literally out of the exhibit, and I said to my wife, "Who's Krishna? He's so beautiful." She said, "I don't know. How do we find out?" This is actually what happened. The Lord says in the Bible, "Seek and ye shall find." We walked over, the crowd, first devotee I saw in this lifetime, Brahmananda. The Vishnu John, he stood up and he gave this lecture. He said, "For those of you who don't know who is Krishna, I'm going to explain." I looked at my former wife. "You got to be kidding me. This is like a plot from a movie." Then he explained all about Krishna and how he's blue and how he has these transcendental relationships with his devotees in the spiritual sky, where you can become the child of God, you can become the friend of God, you can become the lover of God. A very deep lecture. From the moment I came in contact, it all made sense. He said, "Don't think of Krishna as an ordinary man. He's God." And I thought, yeah, I finally met God. And then the students started challenging, and Vishnu John Maharaj was so expert, he defeated them, and they became humbled, and they walked away, one by one by one. It was a very intellectual school, very materialistic. Suddenly, the 200 students left. It was just me and my former wife. I was like, my wife said, "Brian, you're drooling." I fell in love with those sannyasis. So then Vishnu John Maharaj came over and he said, "That's Krishna," he said, "but to know Krishna, you have to serve the Guru. So young boy, young man and lady, sit down, I will tell you about my spiritual master." And he talked for 1 hour about Prabhupada. My wife said, "Brian, you're drooling again." So then he went to do something and I said to my former wife, I said, "Honey, well, you know, please edit that out of the tape." I said, "This is the important part now, forget that. Madam?" "Mataji, we found our spiritual master." I hadn't met Prabhupada, but I met my spiritual master through the devotees, just like I'm gradually meeting Krishna through my spiritual master. I said it in the manor the other day. Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, the three are important. As we understand Krishna through Guru, we understand Guru, so important to our lives. As we serve him here, we serve him there. It's an eternal relationship. We meet him through the devotees. So I'm so much. Excuse me. Indebted to Brahmananda Swami and Vishnu John Maharaj and Gargamuni and Subal Maharaj was there. And, you know, I said, "Let's invite them home." Imagine four devotees, sannyasis traveling. I said to my wife, let's invite them home. She said, "They'll come and stay with us. They're monks." I said, "Yeah, but there's something special about them. They're very kind." So I said to Vishnu John, "You know, we're really interested in yoga. We're vegetarians and we meditate. Can you come and stay with us? We're staying in a building that's soon going to be abandoned and torn down for another structure. Can you come stay with us?" So Vishnu John said to Brahmananda, "This boy and girl, they've invited us to stay in the apartment next. Shall we go?" And Brahmananda said, "What will we eat?" And I said, very quickly, I said, "No, look, I just got my paycheck. $720. I thought, you know, they'll spend $20, you know. I said, "I can cash it in at the local grocery store. They know me, and we can buy some frozen pizzas." So Vishnu John said, "You know," he said, "we only eat prasadam, food that's offered to the Lord." So I didn't know what that meant. I said, "Okay, you know, I can spare $20. So Brahmananda said, "Give me the check. Sign the back of it." "Yeah, okay, but give me the change. I'll give you the spare change." So we went to the grocery store, and all four sannyasis, you know, they have those contests sometimes where if you win a prize, you can go through the store and take as much as you want in 2 minutes and then come out? Do they do that in England? In America, they have that prize. It's a lottery, and you go through as much as you can grab, and boom, you come through and you get to keep it. That's what they did. You know, rice and lentils and butter and cream. And I said, "What are you going to do with all that?" And everything, and it came to $680. And Brahmananda kept the change. He said, "Just in case I get hungry in a few days." So we you know, okay, talk about surrender. Sarva Dharma Paricha Jam. You know, I was being taught surrender from the very beginning. Anyway, Vishnu John cooked, and Garga Muni sang, Subal slept, and Brahmana kept looking at Vishnu John Maharaj and said, when are you going to make the offering? And he took the bananas and made a banana chutney, and the prasadam was... The first time you took prasadam, you started laughing. It was like that. I was just giggling. But, you know, it was a new experience. I was really, like, taking the prasadam very carefully. And I swear to God, Brahmananda ate 5 full plates while I ate 1. And in the end, then Vishnu John said, can you speak? He said, there's no way I can speak. You like to speak, you speak. Anyway, to make a long story, it was 3 days. They stayed with us in the apartment next door. And every day they came and cooked prasadam. They had kirtan. Brahmananda Prabhu also lectured. It was just mesmerizing. He was a very good speaker. And he would also tell stories of Prabhupada. Like that. And we invited our friends over. They weren't the least interested. I couldn't understand how. Then one day they left. There was one antidote that, you know, Vishnu John had this silver spoon he used to carry. And I said, you're a monk. You're renounced. What are you keeping that spoon for? He said, no, Prabhupada gave it to me. I said, but still, it's silver. He said, you don't understand yet. Remember, you don't understand yet. You'll understand in time. So when they left at midnight one night. And in the morning, you know, they were waking up every morning at whatever, 4 o'clock for Mangal Aarti. I said, you know, we meditate. We get up really early at 7. They're waking us up. They didn't wake us up one morning. So we got up and we ran to the apartment. They were gone. I cried like a baby. My first tears in Krishna consciousness, missing those sannyasis. Came back, and on a table next to my head, Vishnu John Maharaj had come in and put the silver spoon there with a picture of Prabhupada and a note that just as on a river, the leaves that blow into the river, the reeds, the twigs, they come together for a moment by the force of the river, and by the same force of the river, in time they're separated. He said, in the same way, he was paraphrasing a verse from the 11th canto, we come together as friends, family members, neighbors, and countrymen. We stay together for a while, and by the force of time, we're separated. Oh, my. When I read that, I really started crying. And then, I didn't see the silver spoon at first. I just saw, and then my former wife said, look, there's the spoon. And I So we're indebted to those devotees. We're indebted to Brahmananda, indebted to Vishnu John Maharaj. He left too early. Prabhupada calls these departures untimely. We would like these souls stay with us until the ripe old age of 100, but I think Prabhupada has other plans for them. These devotees were invested with so much mercy, so much service, so much realizations that I think that their early departure, like TKG, Sataputta, Gopi, Puranadana, I think these devotees are being called by Prabhupada for some service somewhere else under his... It could only be. And we feel their... We're happy for them, but we feel the pain we can realize. Ramananda Roy's response to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said... Dukkha madhye kona, dukkha haya guru tara, Krishna bhakta viraha, vino dukkha nahi ara. Ramananda, what is the greatest sadness in this world? And Ramananda Roy replied, separation from devotees is the greatest misery. This is the most painful thing in the world. So, we miss these devotees. for many reasons. They remind us of Krishna, they're always glorifying the Lord, they engage us in service, they're our well-wishers. But we miss Brahmananda for a specific reason, that he was Guru Nishtha. I often think, what is the most important quality a disciple can have? And I think it's Guru Nishtha, faith in one spiritual master. That's the most valuable possession that one can have, because eventually from having faith, the Guru introduces us to Krishna. He's the via medium by which our service passes on to Krishna, and which we get blessings from Krishna. So pleasing such a devotees, Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, the devotees, our temple president, the regional secretary, our GVC, our guru, when we please those who are under whose tutelage we're working, it pleases the Lord. Lord Narayan said to Durvasa Muni, Ramamstat gacha bhadram te nabhaga tanayam nirpam samapaya mahabhagam tata shantir bhavishyati. O best of Brahmins, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. So by pleasing the devotees, by pleasing Guru, Krishna is pleased. And that's how we get our blessings. So we're sad that such a devotee who was so intimate to Prabhupada, whom we could serve and please, I remember, gosh. I came to Brahmananda Prabhu's class at Kartik. He was giving Prabhupada memories. There was 600 devotees there, so many of my esteemed God brothers and God sisters. And I walked in. Sorry. And Brahmananda Prabhu looked up, he said, oh, and he stood up. Oh, Indraduma Swami's come. He stood up. And he stopped. I paid full dandavats. He came over and touched his feet. He said, he's doing so much service. He pointed to me. He's the person who made me a devotee. Without his mercy, I wouldn't even have known who was Prabhupada. What is the Bhagavad? So, such devotees are very rare. We're sad, and the world should be sad. Because in this world, a Vaishnava gives light to this world of darkness and ignorance. Light in the form of his example, just as a devotee. And he gives light, again, because Vaishnavas are always sharing with other devotees or conditioned souls. He gives light in the form of knowledge. Divya Gyan. He gives light in the form of knowledge. He lights the world up by his example and by his preaching. So when a Vaishnava leaves, that little light goes out. And sometimes a little light is enough to light up the darkness. Just like the other day I was somewhere and the lights went out and I had a candle. A candle's not a very powerful light. It wasn't like my flashlight, which I couldn't find. But I turned the light on and poof. Surprise how a little flame could light up the whole room. So although, you know, devotees are few and far and outnumbered in this world, their presence is very much felt. Their example, their knowledge they're giving, they light up the world. And when that devotee passes away, that light goes out, the world becomes a little bit darker. Oh, we're sad. But those of us who remain behind, we should pick up that light, that candle of transcendental knowledge, and we should continue carrying it through the world. And we can get inspiration to do that from the glorious life of Brahmananda Prabhu, who initially opened the doors at 26 Second Avenue on the order of Śrīla Prabhupāda and led that first Harinam with that big bass drum, boom, 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 and they were all dressed in a funny way and kind of shy and, you know, and matchless gifts. And with great courage, they went out to Greenwich Village and loudly chanted on the order of Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And as Brahmananda Prabhu carried that torch throughout New York, he took it to Africa. He went to Pakistan, for parts of India, and very so many other services. So we have a good example to follow. We have a good leader in our lives. We can follow that wonderful example of Guru Nishtha, faith in the Guru, willing to carry any order of Śrīla Prabhupāda to perfection. Brahmananda Prabhu ki. His glorious departure on the appearance day of Vakashvara Pandit in Sri Vrindavan Dham ki. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Sri Braja Bhumi Vrindavan Dham ki. Sri Sri Radha Londonishwara ki. Jagannath Subhara Baladeva ki. Sri Sri Gornitai ki. Giriraj Govardhan ki. The London Yatra ki. The British Yatra ki. Worldwide ISKCON ki. Nitai Go Premanandi.
His Holiness Indradama Maharaj ki. Śrīla Indradama Maharaj ki. Śrīla Indradama Maharaj ki. So, thank you very much, Maharaj, for coming.